Now, you've taken a closer look at the interests of the people serving on this committee. What exactly did you find?
Well, we looked at the top PAC contributors to each of the 12 members. We also looked at the revolving door in and out of their congressional offices. And, you know, basically you find what you always do when you look at a microcosm of Congress, a lot of money coming in and out. Millions of dollars have gone just to these 12 lawmakers alone. In fact, if you look at their PAC contributions in aggregate, of the top 10 PAC contributors to just these 12, four of the biggest contributors are big banks.
And so what does that say to you about their ability to conduct this review of federal spending that they are charged with doing?
Well, of course, they'll be able to do it. They're going to have a very short timetable. It looks like they're not going to give up their August recess, so that puts the talks back into September. But they will be lobbied heavily by people that used to work for them, by people that contribute money to their campaigns. So that makes their job more difficult.
And that's not unique to them, though. It sounds like any 12 members of Congress they picked would probably have that situation.
Unfortunately, that is exactly true.
But it seems like they have a real push to get to reach some sort of compromise on this. I mean, it is in their best interest to work together and come up with the cuts that are that they deem necessary, or it's just going to happen anyway. I mean, doesn't this force them to work together?
Yes, I think you'll see a lot of kumbaya in the beginning. As a matter of fact, they all released statements once they were named saying that they would work together and there were no preset conditions. But if you look at the makeup of this committee, there are some hardline conservatives on it, some hardline liberals on it, and it could be that they'll be looking to more moderate members like Max Baucus, John Kerry, and Fred Upton to forge a compromise.
Now, you mentioned the banking interests that have given money to these members, and they are charged with cutting budgets, but they're also charged with at least considering whether tax increases or a change in the tax code that could result in greater revenue to the federal government. That's part of their mandate also. That's not off the table. And so that gets you into things like, say, the mortgage deduction and other banking or finance-related well, some people call them loopholes. They're really just the tax code. Does that concern you? Is that what you're driving at with the looking at the banking contributions?
Well, there'll be pressure on them from all industries, of course, but the finance industry as a whole gives so much money to members of Congress because they have so much money that they will have an outsized influence on this micro committee of Congress.
We are talking with Sandy Johnson. She is the executive editor at the Center for Public Integrity about the makeup of what they are calling the super committee. These are the folks who have to find these cuts by Thanksgiving. So is it then something that people need to be watching as far as their affiliations? And is there any way to have any kind of influence over this, particularly for the federal agencies that are wondering what their bottom line is going to be once these cuts take effect?
It really is extraordinary that this group of 12 lawmakers, a microcosm of 535 members of Congress, who of course represent the entire country, are tasked with coming up with cuts of this magnitude in such a short time. So yes, it's of course in everyone's interest to pay attention to this, especially those of us who live in the Washington area, which is the hub of the federal government.
Now, the minority leader, Nancy Pelosi, was the first to say that they should conduct their deliberations in open and transparency. What form would that actually take? I mean, they sit down at a table. Presumably, they will meet in person from time to time and not just send paper airplanes from the staff across the hall to one another. So what does transparency and openness mean in terms of deliberations like this?
I think they will hold some hearings in public, just like the military commissions, the BRAC commissions have done in the past. But the deal cutting when agreements have to be made in such a short time, as you know, is always done behind closed doors. You can't horse trade in front of the public. It might horrify them to no end.